listening to the Higher Ed Podcast. We uncover the future of higher education, current trends, insights from the sector's brightest, and actionable advice for leaders and executives. Creating impactful universities, well-branded colleges, and best-in-class student experiences. Join us as we redefine the sector one episode at a time.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Higher Ed Podcast. We got a special guest today, CEO of Engine Systems, Naros Aldabaugh. For those who haven't heard from you in a while, Naros, maybe tell them a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm excited to be on with you. We're so grateful to our listenership. We're grateful for the awesome comments that we get from time to time. And I also wanted to congratulate the Higher Ed Podcast team for being selected recently in the top 40 of all higher education podcasts in the world. That's a huge thing. So congratulations to the team. We're very thankful for all the guests that we've had on, all the content that we've produced. But my name is Naros Aldabaugh, and I'm CEO of Engine Systems. Engine is the company behind Higher Ed Podcast. And I get to work with a wonderful team and the privilege to work side by side by Kamar and George and the team that produces this podcast. But I'm excited to be on with you.
Absolutely. I tell you what, man, being in the top 40 is, you know, even more special, I think, you know, coming from the admission side of higher ed, you know, to be able to make an impact like that, like this in higher ed is very, very important and rewarding.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, this method or platform of content distribution is important to what leaders you know, teams and employees in higher education are going through as they have just navigated the, you know, the pandemic. And then we've got a new school year on the horizon, and there's increased demand for higher education, specifically, you know, institutions that participate in career training and short-term certification. And I think students are demanding a new level of customer service from universities and a new experience in higher education. And I think you and the team have done a great job along with our guests in putting out, you know, breadcrumbs and great tidbits and best practices for people to follow, to engage in, to try out, and to build upon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why I really wanted you on is because, you know, what we found is there's a, you know, huge need for training in higher ed. You know, I think as a result of the pandemic, you know, people kind of really just got into survival mode, you know, never really been in something like this before in their lives. And, you know, I don't want to say they've forgotten about it, but, you know, I think, you know, it kind of went to the wayside with more, you know, relevant or prevalent issues. You know, can you maybe talk to our audience a little bit about the importance transition you've seen and, you know, ways that, you know, we can make training, you know, more efficient, you know, optimize it, but also make sure that it is kind of tailored to the new normal, as folks like to say.
Absolutely. So it's interesting because we're seeing investment come back in on the higher education side, not specific to any slice of the sector. So, you know, state, public, for-profit, small, big, large, private, nonprofit, the whole gang, right? We're seeing a shift to invest in infrastructure, resources, tools, and training for employees. And I think it's because you go through shock, right? You go through shock and shock, awe, and trauma last year as you have to deal with the pandemic. You make some tough decisions. You make some quick decisions. You implement new practices to make sure you can teach students, still recruit students, still operate your university, college, or institution. And, you know, in higher education, unlike other businesses, you make those decisions in a meeting, maybe over 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but it takes you 60 to 90 days to execute. Then it takes you 60 to 90 days to optimize. And it takes you 3 to 4 months to kind of level out and make corrections as need be, figure out what the impact was. And then finally you're above water and now you got to figure out, okay, how do I live with this new normal? And that's where most leaders are today, right? And some universities were impacted negatively. Some were actually, you know, catapulted from enrollment numbers, student experience, student outcomes, rolling out new technology, this kind of stuff. But with that, right, whether you kind of made out favorably or not, there's a new need for new competency from your employees, right? So your admissions folks, your recruiters, your admissions representatives, your officers, are recruiting differently than they did exactly 1 year ago, right? We're shooting this podcast in the spring, end of March, beginning of April, where maybe I was doing on-site tours, or I was doing recruiting meetings at 20 or 30 with parents. I'm doing that over Zoom now, right? Students are watching virtual interviews. So that's a totally different skill set or competency for recruitment. And you have to develop that in people. You also saw a huge exodus of employees out of higher education and a mass hiring event into higher education. So I'll talk about that for 15 seconds, but a lot of schools were impacted negatively from a financial standpoint. So there was a mass layoff, just like every other sector. But we also gained a lot of hires because other sectors, whether it's hospitality, the private sector in many different verticals and slices of the economy, lost employees, and those employees have a huge passion for training, higher education, and learning. And as universities and colleges have seen an explosion in demand for retraining and career training, you know, those people have been hired on. So you even go into financial aid services, placement, faculty, instructors, right? Think about placement. It used to be a huge grassroots effort a year ago in the community, right? Your networking events, all this kind of stuff, and it's all gone. If you don't know how to recruit via LinkedIn, for example, if you don't know how to pound the pavement via phones, or you're not great at digital communication, you're struggling as a placement coordinator right now for universities and colleges helping graduates get jobs. Forget the fact that the job sector has changed like crazy. You know, the jobs that were available a year ago are not available today, but there are thousands of jobs that were not around a year ago that are available today. And to add on to that, your faculty and your instructors have had to make do over the last 12 months. Well, now we need to operate in the new normal. There is no make do, right? I have to figure out how I can educate a student in a hybrid environment, regardless of what your university, college, or institution has done in bringing students back on campus. So that's a new skill set. That's a new competency. We have been empowering colleges and universities to train through different kind of delivery methods, but to also establish human development, interpersonal and professional programs at their institutions for over a decade now. So we've been positioned really well to help our existing client base make this transition and to make a greater investment in learning and training. I know I'm kind of putting a lot out there, but it's a small question you asked with a big answer. So, I guess it starts with asking a few questions as a leader, operator, or employee about your institution. Do you have an existing training development program? When was the last time that training or development program has been refreshed or refurbished? If it's older than the last 12 months, you're essentially obsolete. Does that training program allow employees to efficiently learn under the constraints of the working environment today, right? Can I learn remotely? Is it specific to my needs? So I'll give you an example and let you ask me a few questions so that we can unwrap these concepts to our listeners really well. If you have been a admissions recruiter or a college recruiter for 15 years, you have a great, great basket of skills, but you've never had a social media profile, maybe. Well, your type of training and development is completely different than a college recruiter that an institution would have hired 9 months ago, post-pandemic, that has all the capability, all the ability to communicate digitally via social environment, operate in a hybrid remote working environment, but does not understand how to effectively communicate with prospective students, their parents, how to prepare students, how to overcome obstacles, objections, all those types of things to get a student to commit to their education. So if your existing training program has a broad stroke approach, meaning onboarding, right, system process, and then some kind of advanced development, your ROI on that training program is close to zero for what the pandemic has done to the different skill levels of competencies and competencies of your current employee base, regardless of what department they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, right? I know models that have gone from, you know, they used to have, you know, a weekly meeting on Friday for an hour, hour and a half with their team, you know, maybe a stand-up meeting on Monday and then another stand-up on Wednesday. And you know, incremental one-on-ones and face-to-faces, right?
And this is education, admissions, and career services, depending on how big the team was. And financial aid usually, you know, kind of mirrored, you know, what admissions is doing, right? So when you start to think about that now, you know, and what are you seeing just with clients, but also as a solution to say, okay, training's still important. You know, ultimately, if there's no student, there's no school. How do you kind of get back to the basics, even though the basics have been revolutionized, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think it'd make it easier if we focused on one department to illustrate these concepts via this podcast. So let's focus on admissions. Let's focus on enrollment and recruitment as a department. Let's focus on those people in that team. And you can take these concepts across any department that you have within your institutions. So what we've uncovered over the last few years, again, in doing training in higher education for well over a decade, I think close to 15 years now, is this. If you have to have a very strong foundational training program. So foundational encompasses onboarding for a specific role, but it's not just onboarding. So if we think of admissions, foundational skill set development should address the following competencies: role, job, and duties. That's what most people call onboarding. Okay. And then specific communication skill set, right? That's beyond onboarding. So that's specific competencies to the job. So your foundational training program should encompass onboarding. It should allow me to understand what my job is, the policies, the systems, the processes, the technology that I utilize day to day. Then you should develop a baseline competency in the behavior and or communication that I do with students every single day. And that training program has to be quick because of the ever-changing environment that our admissions folks are working in. So if I've got an onboarding program that's 6 weeks long, you've already lost. You know what I mean?
Right.
In fact, we try to keep our onboarding programs with our clients like 7 to 10 days max. Where people get it wrong, or where leaders and institutions get it wrong, is they invest in a 6 week, 2 week, 4 week, 3 week onboarding program, and then everything stops. And the problem is, if I onboard you and then I kind of feed you to the wolves and I don't increase your baseline competency, you're not going to be very successful. You won't provide a great experience to students. Meaning you won't perform well in your job. So if your sole responsibility is to increase enrollment or recruit students, my overall enrollment and recruitment rate per employee is going to go down and the experience is going to suffer. So your brand's going to suffer. The solution to that is a very quick onboarding so that somebody is producing for what they're being paid for. And then a long tail baseline competency training program. So if onboarding is 7 to 14 days, follow it up with 2 to 4 months of ongoing base competency training. So for admissions folks, it's purely around communication, whether that's via phone, in person, via Zoom, on social media, through text, through email, whatever it may be, make them a master communicator so that they can answer the right questions, so that they can communicate the advantages and differentiators of your institution so that they can overcome student problems and help them with their anxiety and nervousness and get them to commit to their decision to enroll and register and show up to school and get the documents on time and all that kind of stuff, right? Make them a star at what they do after they have been quickly onboarded. So what we notice is a lot of institutions don't do a really good job at that. Now that you've taken care of your fundamental training, you have to elevate your employees. So, you know, no real one sector does this very well, but it's not something that most people do really well, whether in your technology or whatever it may be. But essentially, you want to do this as an overall institution, right? And what that looks like is this. Internally, we use an accelerator model. That's not something we've developed. It's something that's been around for quite a while. And the accelerator model does exactly what it sounds like it would do. It accelerates competency within an individual team, a group of people. So as an institution, you decide, okay, we came out of the pandemic. We have some targets that we want to achieve from an enrollment standpoint, since we're talking admissions. And what are the max 4 key competencies that we would like to develop within our admissions people for the next 12 to 24 months? And that could be anything, right? That could be an increase in enrollments from a certain geographical area within your market, whether you enroll in a state or the whole United States or a city, whatever it may be. It could be, an increased conversion rate somewhere in your enrollment funnel. It could be the business development aspect of your business, of your enrollment done in a hybrid manner. You've been used to having 25 recruiting reps all over the United States knocking on doors. And now you don't need 25. You can have 10, 15 that do it digitally. Whatever it may be, focusing on max 4 key competencies for your team that you really want to increase and accelerate those competencies through an accelerator model. What is an accelerator model? It's a long-term training program, 6 to 24 months, that's anchored by a live intensive, meaning bring all your people together, deliver an intensive live and in person, right? I think we've gotten to a point in the pandemic where you can do that in small numbers, spaced appropriately and all that fun stuff. An intensive essentially is a boot camp or workshop where you really break down these ideas and competencies and you get the team to understand the why, the how, the who, the what. You give them the resources, the guides that they need to go execute on the competency, and then you kind of make them a master of that skill set for the next 6 to 12 months. The question that we get a lot is, how do I do this and how do I do this quickly? Well, how you do it is how you teach students, right? You break down the skill sets, the competencies, everything that you're trying to teach in the curriculum. You deliver that curriculum in multiple platforms, online lesson, live video, audio, exercises, demonstration activities. You get your leadership to master it first, and then they dilute it down to your people. You inspect how they're mastering it. You know what I mean? You redirect, you split them up into different mastery levels, and you accelerate the learning based how everybody's doing. That's why you got to do it long term. If you take that approach, we believe that investment on people development over the next 12 to 24 months will have a very high return in performance, in people retention, in accelerating proficiency in these items, and then the outcomes of that specific department. And here's what I would challenge leaders to kind of understand, right? You band-aided, I don't know if that's the, probably not a word higher ed folks understand, but you put a band-aid on most of your issues and your new skills that your folks have needed to have over the last 12 to 15 months. Now you have to reassess how that worked, what were the results, and you got to create a long tail plan because this is the new normal. And I wouldn't be myself if I said Engine does this same exact specific thing for all of our clients and all of our prospective clients. So if you don't have the bandwidth, if you don't have the team to execute on this, or if you want to execute on this in the next, let's say 60 to 90 days and can't do it on your own, hire Engine, right? This is exactly what we do. And the return on your investment in hiring a company like ours is going to be huge. The universities and colleges that are going to blow this thing out of the water in the next 4 years are the people that do a really good job at executing in adjusting to this new normal. If you still got your head in the sand and you think this is going to pass or you're going to be okay, you're not. You're going to slowly decline in enrollment, decline in student outcomes. Your attrition is going to get worse over time. Your brand's going to suffer. Don't do that. Don't do that. This isn't a time of defense. It's a time of offense for universities, institutions, and colleges. So I hope that helps our audience, Kamar, and I hope that they reach out to us on social media for further guidance, assistance, questions. We'll be more than happy to answer. They can hit us up at the Engine profiles. They can visit my social media. They can visit your social media. We can link those in the podcast summary, but glad to be on with you today.
Hey, I got one more question just to kind of link on to what you just said. Right. It seems like we've had more interest in people outsourcing the training, accelerator type programs. Right. From your perspective, why is that? Or what's the case for that? What about this new normal or this post-pandemic age has, institutions more likely, thinking more about, hey, let's just bring a group in to do this instead of hiring a national trainer or doing this internally?
Yeah, great question. I think there's three things that lend to that. One, the existing training staff within higher education as a whole, post-secondary education. We love them. They're awesome. They're a key part of the sector. But think of it this way. They're the coaches and there's nobody coaching them. So they most likely lack the skill set or the competency to create new training designed for how people absorb competencies today in a work environment. They don't have the capacity or time to produce all new content for these new skill sets. Think about that. Maybe they've taken 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years to get their training program in place. Now you're going to ask them to produce that same content in a new way, in a new delivery method for a new environment in 60 to 90 days. Most can't do it, right? So that's one. Two, you want to execute this stuff well. You get it wrong, then you just wasted a whole lot of time and money, and you're going to lose credibility with employees. You're going to lose trust. There's not going to be an outcome that you achieve. And most leaders understand that. And this is something that is the bread and butter of companies like Engine. We crush it, right, in this aspect. And, you know, that gives you not a guarantee, but a sense of security that your time and money invested is going to have a return. And then third, you know, we can, from the day that a company calls us, depending on the product or training deliverables, we're training and developing people within 60, 90 days, okay? So that's 8 weeks. Your folks are getting the juice. They're getting the material and the training that they need in a white labeled environment. And that's for a leader in higher education. You know, you can't beat that timeline in that investment.
Nice. Can't think of a better place to end it.
All right, sweet. So we'll link some social media platforms in the summary of this podcast. Send us a direct message. Feel free to email us directly. We'll put an email. Even if you don't want to be a client or sign up for services, that's not what the podcast is for. Ask questions. We're here to help. Our research team does a tremendous job writing content on this stuff. You know, check it out, download it, go over it with your team. We do think the transition in higher education is going to happen through training and development. As you migrate to new technology, as you recruit digitally, as you teach in a hybrid environment and or in a fully online environment, and as you place employees and handle financial aid and things like that in a very digital way, it's super exciting for us, but your people have to know how to do it. All right. Thanks, Kamar.
Right.
Thanks for listening to the Higher Ed Podcast. This episode was brought to you in part by Engine Systems and Chief Digital Marketers. For more information on topics discussed, you can visit engine.systems or chiefdigitalmarketers.com. Join us next week and every week after for more innovative and actionable advice.